By a show of hands, how many here have been a child sometime in their life? Okay. I think we got everybody. There's always that one person who's like, I had a beard by the time I was 3. Even you had a childhood. I'm sure none of you have ever really gotten into trouble as a child, right? You wouldn't get into trouble, would you? Well, this guy right here got into trouble a number of times growing up. When I was in trouble, it was usually when my dad was gone. And if I got in trouble, my mother would say, Nathan, get over here. If I got in serious trouble, she would say, Nathan Lee, she would use my middle name, Nathan Lee, get over here. And if I got in serious trouble, she would say, Nathan Lee Hitchcock, she'd use my full name, and then she said, get your buns over here. Which was always a bad sign when she wanted, you know, your rear end over. But the few times I got in serious trouble, my mother simply said, just wait till your father gets home. Just wait until he gets home. And when I heard those words, there was a shiver that went down my spine because I knew what she meant. My mother, as much of a gifted disciplinarian as she was, when she appealed to my father, Dad was going to come home and there was going to be justice. Dad would come home and there would be judgment. He would come home and things would be set straight. Just wait till he comes home. And I have to think that the Israelites felt something of that feeling when they heard the prophets, when they read the scriptures, and they heard about God coming to them. On one level, they would have really looked forward to this. Oh, God is coming home to us. They would think, oh, this will be like the day of visitation or the day of the Lord, like when God wiped out Pharaoh and his army. It'll be like when we were slaves in Egypt. God will come home, he'll come to us, and then he'll set us free. And yes, that could be the case. But when God came home, when there was the day of the Lord, there was also this potential threat. And in fact, when the Israelites were listening to the prophets, they would have known that this was not necessarily a good thing for them. Listen to this. This is Exodus 32:34. In the day when I visit, I will visit their sins upon them. Isaiah 13, verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and to destroy its sinners from it. Or Joel 1:15. Alas for the day of the Lord is near, and as destruction from the Almighty it comes. Or Ezekiel 30, verses 2 and 3. Thus says the Lord God, wail, alas for the day is near, the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds, a time of doom for the nations. And just one more, Amos 5:18. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It's darkness and not light. Just wait until he comes home. The sin problem among God's people was so great that something drastic had to be done. God, in his wrath, was gathering his army and was preparing to execute judgment on the earth. God was going to come home. Do you really want God to be with you if that's the promise of his word? And it turns out that that day came. The day came when God came, just as he promised he would. He did come. And we give it a name. We call it Christmas. And you say, well, God didn't come with his army. But that's not true, because if you were listening in Luke 2 or in Matthew 1, you know this, that some shepherds were out in the fields by night, somewhere outside of Jerusalem, and God's army all of a sudden appeared. Heaven was torn open, and there was a whole array of warrior angels. And I say this because it's called the host of heaven. A host is an army. And they all line up there like they're going to invade earth. And the army appears. And you know the shepherds must have been peeing their pants or whatever they were wearing. And the army appears in the sky, and they scream out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." And the army breaks into song. And the shepherds are terrified. But you'll remember an angel says to them, "Go to Bethlehem, and there you will find good news. There you will find Christ the Lord. You're going to go because God has come to you. You're going to find this Davidic king. Go to Bethlehem. Oh, and here's the sign. Look for the sign. The sign is you will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And the shepherds went away full of awe, and sure enough, they found that very thing. And the God who had every right to come in with great wrath, to come in with great judgment, to come in with justice that could have leveled everything, instead he comes in as a baby. And a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. And a baby who is lying in a manger. Do you know what a manger is? It's a feeding trough. It's what animals eat out of. Jesus came as a poor little baby. What kind of justice is this? What is going on? The day of the Lord came. Judgment came. And God decided to become a baby? What we say is this, that here in this Christmas mystery, he is Emmanuel. That's the Hebrew word for God with us. This Jesus is Emmanuel. He's God with us. And in that one little word, Emmanuel, is the whole gospel. It's everything we preach as Christians. This one word, Emmanuel. Because in that one word, we hear the good news that God did not stay out there afar. And when he came near to us, he came to be with us. And this Jesus lived exactly like one of us, in every way except for sin. And he who was supposed to come with great judgment and destruction, instead he was destroyed on the cross. And the one who was supposed to raise all sorts of destruction upon us, he himself rose again on the third day, so that he could forever be with us, so he could forever be Emmanuel. Emmanuel. There in the manger is the mystery that God did indeed come home to sinners. And in so doing, he set everything right.